for the lesson that we're on, Run Your Race, this kind of even fits into what we were just saying in the order of my steps. To run your race means you're in the spot he tells you to be. I use the example of a track meet, and I said it can work in any sport because everybody has a position. Sister Bree knows in basketball, everybody couldn't play in the same position. You couldn't have five forwards out there. I don't think that would work. So you understand that. And you have everybody out there in their position, but same thing like with track. And the reason why I like that, because it's so different, but you end with the team scoring either one, first place or whatever. And that's how that concept works. And the difference on this is I don't try out for a spot. He already made me for a spot. Does that make sense? So I'm already now made to be in a spot. So what I should have done when I had a child is raise them to know God. When I get saved, I should grow to know God. Why? So God could tell me what I'm supposed to do. That's how it's supposed to work. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? What we do is we raise our kids to be what they can be. And you can do all things. And you can do anything you put your heart to and whatever you desire. So they go after what they want in the way they want it. And we go after what we want in the way we want it. And all of that is dangerous because while I, once again, I'm running the 50, and he was like, I made you to pole vote. Pole vote. Excuse my accent, but you understand that. Okay? You know, I made you for a whole nother event. So, and God's not going to say, well, he's running 50, so I'll give him the run. No, that's why it says, is as he apportioned. Remember we did spiritual gifts? It says, as he apportioned. The first part of reverence is me seeing where he put me. Here on earth, we'll tell our kid, and I watch parents do this a lot, in which you tell a child, no, come over here. No, oh, well, he wants to go over here, so let's go over here and play. Isn't that what we do? Right? And you usually do it because I just want to put up with him crying. Instead of going, no, I said come over here. Do y'all get this? Why do we do that? Because we're teaching them that authority and that discipline. But we don't. We do that. Well, they wanted to go over here, so we went over here. And it's because it's easy. But God's going, I said, come over here. And you're over there, and you're not benefiting what you would have gotten from over here. Because that's where we're supposed to be. So running your race is the understanding of what my race is. So I have to know that. I must know where I'm supposed to be in order for it to be beneficial. So we'll do a quick review of what we already went over, and we saw that we all have a race given to us as individuals, and that's why in Hebrews 12:1, we don't have to read it again, but that's what he says, let us with perseverance run the race marked out for us. And in there he's showing, I marked out a race for you, now I need you to run it and just keep running it. I don't want you to see, sight would make me see I'm in total last place, right? Well, faith makes me, I'm going to keep running. It's like the guy, I can't remember, it was Eric something, I think, where he was supposed to win. It was in the Olympics years ago, and he pulled his hamstring. I don't know if y'all remember that. And he went down, and he got up, and he started hobbling. Now, the race is over, and he's hobbling. He's crying and everything. And his dad came out, and he helped him. But the sign that it shows is, I'm still going. Do you understand? I'm going to keep going, because I'm going to get till I get to the end of the race. There ain't no way I can win anything. And in a worldly sense, that's stupid. But that's why he says foolish things. God has pride in the fool. He wants us to live our lives for him, and a lot of times it's going to look foolish. The whole turn the other cheek thing looks foolish. By faith, it's brilliant. Do y'all get this? And this is where it comes in. So there's a lot of stuff we as intellectuals won't do it if it doesn't seem smart. Not spiritual or not godly if it's not smart. Then we see that the race is not set up the way we think it should be. That's the big thing. You may think, man, I feel and I'm really good at, so God must be putting me in this. And that's where we blow it. Because you're saying where God's going to put you. And I've been in that case many times where I went on teams or pickup and I was like, oh, man, I'm definitely here. So they're going to put me here. And then they put me somewhere else. Now, praise God, my mom and my dad, when he was around, would say, you do where they put you. Do you know what I'm saying? You play well where they put you. And that's what you're supposed to do. And it says we must know the true purpose of the race. Because it's about the purpose, not the race. Why am I doing it? For his will, for what he's telling me. Okay? And if you run the race for any other reason than what the race is for, then you're a worthless racer. So if I did run the 50 and I was supposed to be in a whole nother meet, right? And I won, I still did nothing. I did absolutely nothing for my team. They'll come back and say, well, he was disqualified because he's not even one of the ones that signed up for this race. You know what I'm saying? Now I blew everybody else out. It has nothing to do with it. It was worthless. And that's what we're doing in life. We're doing a lot of stuff, worldly achieving, and God's going, "That was, you did absolutely nothing." Does that make sense? Okay? You did absolutely nothing. So we have to know that. So though each individual has his own race, it all comes together for one coach, which is Christ, and one goal. All right? And we have to understand. So where we last left off is, and we did this, we read this, but we're going to read it again, under what distorts the goal? Human desire. And that's what distorts everything. That's the biggest corruption that we had. And we see this here. First of all, we aim for distorted messages. Did y'all catch that? Instead of me coming to church for the message, I come to church for a message. And if it's not the message or a message I want, then I'm going to go to another church until I hear it. And that's what he's saying here. In 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Now, what he's showing you here is when he wrote this and when it was first presented, it wasn't there yet. Isn't that, think about, did y'all catch that? He said the time will come. Y'all catch that? Okay, hey, so we're in it. We're deep in it. So we didn't experience what they're experiencing. But he warned of it, so we still have this warning. When he says what? When men will not put up with sound doctrine. We don't go, I need you to clearly show me in the Bible when this or this. We go, I need you to convince me for this or this. Do y'all notice that? So if I came here and I told y'all a whole bunch of stuff and y'all liked what you heard, y'all would go, oh, okay, thank you, praise God. Not, I need you to show me that clearly in the Bible. That's how it should be. That's what the Bereans did. You understand that? They said, you, if you don't clearly show me in the Bible, I don't care how much I like it, I'm not accepting it. Does everybody get that? Okay? So he's showing that. He's saying there's a time where that's going to go away, which is here now. He says, instead to suit their own desires. I want to run the 50. Well, the Bible shows you're supposed to be doing something. Okay, I don't like you, Pastor. I'm going somewhere else. In fact, I'm not going somewhere else. I'm going to gather some other people that are going to tell me what I want to hear. They're going to get my money. They're going to get my... And you see what I'm saying? Why it's bad when we treat church as a business? Because then it's, I got to get clientele because they're going to keep it funded and so on and so forth. So then I got to say, what can I do to keep y'all here? Right? And that's the hard part. Now, when we do it the way we're supposed to, you're going to lose people. And then people are going to go because of the fact of you're not dealing with their desires. Church wasn't meant for your desire. That's why he says, instead to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number, so a whole lot of them. It wasn't a few small cases. A great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Did y'all catch that? So it's not just the teachers who are in big trouble. We read about false teachers in big trouble. It's our fault because we're the ones getting them there. We're the ones approving some of these horrible messages that are being put out there. And how do I know they're horrible? Because they're not in the Bible. Does that make sense? I like hearing it. I'm going to have a breakthrough and he's going to give me exactly what I want. I love that, but I know it's wrong. Do y'all get this? Amen? And it goes on to say, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So they'll purposely go, I don't care if it's in the Bible, tell me what I want to hear. So you like the answer when I cancel things out the Bible of, well, we don't do this anymore because it's a culture answer. Got it. Right? And, or God told me he's going to do this with you, even though it's nowhere in his word. Got it. Why? Because I love that answer. Okay? So that's the first thing we see. That's a very dangerous one. And then this one right here is the thing that really changes and shows us where we're at today, which is very scary. And it shows that we're in a very selfish mindset. We create distorted goals because of self. Remember, it's selfishness. It's that self-centeredness. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And then he goes, but mark this. There will be. Everybody say will be. Just like the other one we just read, at the time, they weren't in it. They're probably sitting there going, oh, man. Do you get where I'm coming from? If we went to the time when he first put it out there to them, when the letter was first put out to the people and sent to Timothy for the people that he was ministering to, it would be, seriously? People are going to be this? And what did he say they're going to be? There will be terrible times in the last days. And I told you, when I was younger and I first read that, I was like, oh, yeah, they're talking about Revelations. That's see how ignorance is? Because I just read that line. Immediately, I think Revelations instead of sound doctrine. Keith, keep reading. You understand it? Then when I kept reading, it was like people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Now, the key to all of these is when you break them down, and we've done this before, it's describing our way of life today. It's actually, this describes a very successful person today. These qualities are actually very admired qualities in people today. These are a lot of these qualities we encourage our children to be. You do for you what others aren't going to do for you, right? If you don't get to it first, that was on you. Shame on you, right? Believe in yourself. You can do anything you put your heart to. All this I'm reading, stuff I'm saying is all that other stuff. Don't lower yourself to do that, right? We'll say stuff. We talk back to our parents. There was a commercial I just seen where it was a Kraft macaroni and cheese, where they're sitting at the table, and she said, "You're not going to leave this table until you eat." And the little girl go, "Then we're going to stay here till forever," or something like that. And then next thing you know, they get Kraft macaroni and cheese. What is the problem? Do you understand that? Now, I had an incident like it. Now, I didn't like that little girl because I probably wouldn't be here today. But I was sitting at the table, and she said, "You're not leaving until you eat," and we didn't leave until we ate. And then when it was did get laid up and she had time to go to bed, she took some Saran wrap, and we didn't have microwaves, and put it over there and said, "Guess what you're going to have for breakfast, or what you're going to have for lunch, or what you're going to have for dinner, and you're going to eat it. You're not going to waste it." And it was one of those I had to appreciate and understand. It doesn't grow on trees, and yes, you're going to eat it. And I had to. And I had to get it, and she'd say, "I'll warm it up for you, but you're going to eat it." And it kept in my mind, but it was a training. It was a discipline. Now you get parents, "Well, I don't want to give them something they don't want." That's what we're catering to, right? I want it, so I should have it, right? And that's killing us. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What does that mean? They understand God's love, but I rather have stuff that feels good. So when choices happen in my life, you'll always see me making the feel-good answer, not the God-given answer. Y'all see this? So this is where we're at, and this is a common Christian, and that's what's scary. This is a common Christian, and when you break them down, you're like, man, a lot of this stuff is me. It should scare us. That's why he called it terrible times. And when you read this, this is the reason why we are so far away from God, not because God's far away from us, because we distance ourselves from God when we're like this. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, in knowing those two things, until we get out of that, we're not going to know our race, so we can't run our race, and so we're stagnant. That's why the time is so terrible. Everybody with me? You understand that? So this is why as a body we need to come together and get our group together and grow to do what we're supposed to do. Amen? All right, so that's by far the most important, because we have to know the problem. Because you got a lot of kids doing stuff they're not supposed to. The coach already had them what they're supposed to do, and he knows their strength because God's the one who gave us their strength, and we're doing whatever we want. And we want God. And God, help me. Our prayer is usually, help me do more of what I want and get more of what I want and enjoy what I want and then go to heaven so I can get all of what I want. And it doesn't work that way. So now that we know that, that's huge. But if we get past that, then we can learn how to run to win. Yes. Oh, yeah. Question. Wait, he's in your mic. No problem.
So this is talking about Christians, but mark this, that's not talking about
the world.
Nope. Okay, that's number one. And then having a form of godliness, what
yep.
is
that means form? I look Christian. Oh. You know what I'm saying? But denying spirit. Remember, if I truly am Christian, I'll live as a Christian. Okay. Not just look like a Christian. It's that Sunday suit, carrying the Bible. Never read that Bible, right? I'm going to church on Sunday at that time, and I'm sitting there. But when I'm in church, I go, right? And that's all the time. But there's Brother So-and-such. He's always going to church, having the form of godliness. You know, people look at him. He's a Christian. That's, you know, people who don't know anybody think I'm a Christian. But the power, you come here and go, y'all got to be quiet. I got to get this. Do you see where I'm coming from? The power is, that's the power. His word is the power. I came here so you can feed me. And pastor, you better get his word. I don't want to hear your stories and all that other stuff. Give me his word, because that's the power. And then you're going to see me applying it. That's a person who grows in this power, who lives in this power. But the form of godliness is just, I put on a good show. Amen. You might hear me say amen a couple of times. Don't know what I'm saying amen to. You know, I speak good Christianese. You know, that's what Christians say. Have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, and it's common practice. Good question. Other questions? Oh, give Marvel the mic, please. You do have a question, Marvel, if you don't know it or not.
Did you say the people that has all these are the world or the Christians?
Christians.
So if they have all this,
yep,
how could they have a form of godliness?
Form of godliness. I know what I'm supposed to look like, but I'm not trying to live as God. So I'm putting on a show so you think and call me Christian, treat me as Christian, but in no way I'm going to act Christian.
Well, how you put on a show of you all this?
Well, that's the problem. Just how you said that, we still call them Christian.
I like when somebody says Christianese and you say they're Christian.
Yep.
You don't really know.
We have relabeled Christian to where anybody can be Christian. We've totally relabeled Christian. That's why I'm saying the form of. So to me, we're going, oh, yes, Christian, based on what? How are we supposed to know them? By their what? Ah, so that's a lifestyle. We know them by their suit. You know what I mean? Or they fit a structure that everybody else is not doing. Do you understand? They do something that we would call Christian. Yeah, that seems like a Christian to me. There's a person I know, really nice guy, and in that part, knowing him as a nice guy, when I got to know him, he's an atheist. Proud atheist. Nice guy. Do you get where I'm coming from? Okay? But in this group, there's a ton of people going to church, have a Bible. But that's the group that, when it happened to the young man, they all get together and they pray. Meaningless. Do you get where I'm coming from? Why is it meaningless? They have no idea what they're doing. They're denying the power. Those same group will go, how do I pray? How does the whole process work? Is it okay for me to do this? Is it okay for me to do? You got what I'm saying? That's the key. So, yeah, oh, yeah. And I know in the question that you're asking, oh, it's very easy. I see it done all the time. We give people the benefit of the doubt all the time. Call them Christian. Are you a Christian? Amen. Right? No, they're not. You know what I mean? And it makes us even question ourselves. Man, a lot of these qualities are me. Because he says have nothing to do with them. And the reason why we know it's Christians, because they understand the love of God. Do you understand that? It says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. People of the world don't know the love of God. Do you understand that? Okay? They know the love of God, but they still love pleasure more than they love God. Did it help? Okay. So how then do we run our race to win? And we are to run it to win. Now, please understand that, but I got to run that with faith. Running it to win doesn't necessarily mean it looks like I'm going to win. I still run as if I'm going to win, even though I'm losing real bad. That's what that means. Okay? Please get that straight. Because some people think running to win means the minute I know I'm going to lose, I quit. That's not what that means. It means I'm losing bad, but I'm still running as if I have a chance, even though the person's getting ready to go across the river. I'm still running with all my might as if I'm going to win. That's what that means. So like Paul, we all should live driven to serve the Lord no matter what we face now. That's going to be the key. Now, we're in a life where we coddle and we help and we comfort in us to make us feel better. So we will serve as long as. Okay, and if we're being honest, a lot of us will be Christians as long as God allows this and this in my life and this and this, then I'll do it. God purposely will allow junk to go against what you said because he wants rid of those people who have those settings for him. We do just the opposite, right? No, don't do that. He might leave. Don't do that. It might discourage him. God knows the discouragement point, but he's not talking about our discouragement where he caters to the flesh. Like it says here, it's Acts 20, 22-24. It says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, did y'all catch this? I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? And he's compelled by the Spirit. In other words, he's told, oh, you're going to get some stuff done to you. I can't even tell you what's going to be. And he's still going. Do y'all get this? Why? Because he's being led by the Spirit, not by an emotion or a goal or what he wants. Does that make sense? And it goes on to say, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race. He says, and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the gospel of God's grace. So this is what he's saying. His race is to go into this place where he's going to get beat up, maybe get thrown in jail. He might even die as far as he's concerned. He's saying, but That's what I'm told to do. Even though he's told, yep, you're going to go through something and it's going to hurt, he's still doing it. That's how it's supposed to work. I'm not looking for the most comfortable and path of least resistance. I'm looking for the path God wants me to go. That's the key, right? We go, I just want to not be around this people over here. I don't want to have this job over here. I want to be as comfortable as it is over here. I want to go to a place where it doesn't rain and snow or tornado or anything. I want it to be sunny, but grass and everything still grows, but I don't have to cut it, right? We want everything just to work out to our comfort. Am I right? All right? And that's how we do it. We kind of have, I want to be comfortable. We still have this comfortable mode. Paul's saying, no, I just want to do what God tells me. Right? And the reason why I'm throwing that out there, how it should work. Are you looking for the mic, sis? Do you need Sister Rowe? No? Oh, you don't have any, is everybody else missing that too? What? Huh? The under the how to run the race. It's right under how to run to win. Yes. You have that? Okay, get another paper. Do you have it? How's that missing? I don't know how I missed that. I don't know. Acts. Okay, all right. So you missed it. So that's all right. I was wondering. I thought a question was going on with it. But that's good. You got a flawed paper. So I think that might be a collector's item. So if you hold on to it. No. All right. That's weird. Interesting. Yeah, no, that's okay. No, because I didn't only print. No, you know what? I did print this out once before, and that might have been missing. So it might have got mixed in. Excellent. Okay. All right. So in that, what Paul is saying, and this is what we should do. I think a lot of us, when we come out of a storm, we go, how can I now go to a place of peace? That's what the world does. The world says, I want a place of peace. This is what Christians should do. All right, what's next? Even if it's a storm. God, where do you want me to go next? Our life should be, what do you want me to do, God? Not, God, I'm not going through that again. Or God, after I went through that, I shouldn't have to go through anything again. Or God, you know, we want to call, you know, the shots. We want things to work out the way we see. Does that make sense? Instead of, put me wherever you see fit. So it fits that when I would go and you get to pick up teams and they put you on the spot you didn't want to be. You play it. I told you the guy when we, it was a huge thing on Thanksgiving. We went down in our group. It was a bunch of teams playing football. And we had, each one had somebody where they would put them on to play, and they got this one guy, I knew him from somewhere and I didn't know where it was, and they put him on the line. I remember I got to play receiver in this one. So I had one of the spots that you wanted. Now when the game was over, the guy who played the line, then somebody else came over and said, y'all know who that is? And he was a star running back for a college team. And he just played the line perfectly. Never complained, never tried to coach, never tried to, he just played. He came there, I wanted to play football with these guys that I know, and some of them he knew, and he never went. Do y'all know who he is? Make him run. Nope. He just played the line. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? He was put and he did it. Is that what we do in life, or do we go, no, I want to do this. I'm going to go sit the bench unless you let me do this. And this is what he's saying. Paul said, not only is he saying, I'm going to put you in this spot. You're not going to like this spot. But Paul's saying, but my goal isn't what I like. That's why he says, my life is worth nothing. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. That's what his goal is. So when that's your goal, you're not complaining about the situation. You're not complaining about what you have or don't have. You're only saying, God, am I doing what you want me to do? You got to grasp that. That's very important. That's why Job was successful in that. That's why Joseph was successful in that. You know, their situation seemed very unfair, right? But they were doing what God wanted them to do. And that's all that matters. So as long as I'm doing what you want me to do, God, beat me up. Don't give me what I want. As long as I'm doing what you want me to do. Something that's powerful too, isn't it? And that's a message we don't like hearing. And there's people going right now, I'm going to go find me a nice itchy ear minister and tell me something else. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear he's going to give me what I want. So we have to do that. That's very important. So we should live driven to serve. And you must prepare so you can race to win. Okay? Now, the preparation as a Christian is the studying, but there's more than it because he uses the word training. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. He says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Okay? Then look what he says here. Run in such a way to get the prize. Okay, so run as if you're going to win is what he's saying. All right. Only one person getting, but he's not pushing on the one person getting the prize. He's saying you have to run to try to be the one person, even though by sight looks like I'm going to lose. I told y'all the story, and I ain't going to tell you it again. I'll tell you bits of it. Where the people ran the race, and the guy fell in fourth, and it was the girls. And the three people went across. It was gold, silver, and bronze, and that was it. But the other person kept running. When it was all done, it was like the next day they said the drug test came back, and the first three all were on steroids, so that person got the gold. Now, what if they would have gone and just stopped? Do y'all see where I'm coming from? In life, we do the same thing. When it doesn't look, I don't care, or I'm done, or that's why I don't do this for people. Right? And we do all that, and God's like, oh, wait, why are you stopping? But why? Because the way it looks. Faith is, until he says, Keith, you need to stop, I don't stop. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what he's saying. He's saying, so you have to run in such a way to get the prize. Run as if you're going to get it. Everyone who competes in games, watch this, goes into strict training. Me and my sister were just talking. Sometimes we can allow our studying to become routine and just something to do instead of realizing doing it with a purpose. There was a show that came on before the Olympics, and they were showing how these people's lives for 4 years are given up for training for something they're going to do probably for a couple of minutes. Isn't that crazy? I mean, and every single day is based on that couple of minutes. And the majority of them get nothing. Right? And that's just here. That's temporary. That's here. That's one where I would feel like I wasted my time. You understand that? But this is for God. God is saying the strict training is, why am I studying? Because this is for something I'm competing for, to win the race. God's letting me know, Keith, you're going to go through some storms, and I gave you this is the way you train to win that storm. You're going to go through some pleasures, and this is the way to overcome those pleasures. You're going to go through some things that you feel bad. So why am I staying in the Word? The Word is getting it, understanding it, and applying it. That's the training. That's the strict training. Getting it, understanding it, and applying it. Repeat. Getting it, understanding it, and applying it. That's why I had to repeat it. Yes. But you got to, and then repeat. And then you do that over and over again. And I don't care if you find yourself even refreshing. Why do I do sermons over? So you keep getting it. To the point where you keep hitting this wall, and you're like, oh, no, yeah, I'm used to this wall, right? And I'm going to keep going. Not, you know what, I'm tired of hitting this wall, and life's not going the way I want it, and I quit. And here's the problem. God is trying to weed those people out who are trying to quit, because he gives you everything you need. So that's just you being the coward. Remember the coward part we read in Revelations of one of the groups that are going to hell? And he's saying, because you have no reason to quit. If you allow your emotional and desire to get in the way, you'll go, it's not working out the way I think, so I quit. So you were never living for God in the first place. Does that make sense? Y'all get that? Okay, so this is why that's so important. They go into to strict training. Watch this. They do it to get a crown that will not last. That's the Olympics. They do it to get these gold medals. Now, unless you sell them, there's going to be something hanging on your wall. Or unless you get an endorsement. There's people who get these gold medals, no endorsements. Then what? They got to go get a regular job and they wasted. Do you understand that? He's saying for us, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Do you got where I'm coming from? And this crown is meaningful. He goes on, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. That means I'm purposely running. So that means if I ask you of every aspect of your life, so why are you doing it? And you go, well, I'm doing it for the Lord. How are you doing that for the Lord? Who can answer that question? If I gave the homework, and this is something for you to do for yourself, what you're doing, how are you doing it for the Lord? Explain how decisions you're making, the things you're doing, is being done for the Lord. And that's what he's saying, because then it'll be purposefully. Remember, the guy wrote the book on purpose-driven life, but that was still more based on self. If you read that, it was based on me and having a purpose. While the book should have been everybody's purpose the same. My purpose is God. Show it. Does that make sense? Everybody's purpose, it should have been God-driven life. See, purpose is we get a purpose and then we go after it. And then we want God to help us in that purpose. Sounds great. How it should be is, no, God is my purpose. So everything I do better be in line with his purpose. So, because the Bible says this is why I'm doing this. The Bible says this is why I'm doing this. The reason why I'm not doing this is because the Bible says this. Y'all see where I'm going with this? You'll see my actions, even in everyday regular life, certain things that I'm not doing will be because, well, I don't do that because the Bible says. Oh. While you hear others going, well, everybody does that. Y'all see the difference? And he says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. I'm going to say it again. No, I beat my body. And that, the other word for that is buffet. That means beat down. That means I continue to hit. You understand? In other words, I'm going to get control over my body to make it my slave. Why is he saying that? Because the thing that hurts us, we said, is human desire. So when I get the feeling I didn't want to, or the feeling I want to do something else, or the feeling, we do it. Right? I told you, I don't think anybody in this room or anybody I really know really experienced hunger. But I think all of us have said, I'm hungry. Just because my body went, I want something to eat. So I'm going to tell you, I'm hungry, and we're going to go get something to eat. Or we'll go, I'm starving. I didn't eat in 2 hours. Seriously. You know what I mean? I remember one day I felt like I was shaking. I was like, oh, man, because I ain't getting nothing to eat. And of course, my wife, who I'm a love very much, made the comment, how she said, she was like, so what are people who haven't eaten for days? She was like, if you're starving after a couple of hours and you say you're shaking, she said, how about the people who haven't eaten for a couple of days? I was like, see, that's why I didn't ask you. I just said I wanted to get something to eat. So it has to keep your focus on, I would like something to eat. It's a desire. But I could say, but you know what? I don't have to. But we allow our bodies to dictate to us. That's why we feel depressed, because our body's saying, I'm bored. I'm not happy. I want this. If you don't do this for me, then it's not enough. And we let our bodies dictate it. Instead of us going, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Amen? Y'all see that? He says, I beat my body to make it myself so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. That last line says a big thing. Because in my job, I may be doing the right job I'm supposed to, but in order for me not to get disqualified, I have to run the race in the way that the race was meant to be run. Does that make sense? So that means if my body, or if I do for God the right thing, but the purpose is me, I'm disqualified. Does that make sense? Okay? You have some ministers, excellent ministers. Remember he said the Pharisees, good example. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, you got to listen to them because they sit in the chair of Moses. And what he's saying is they're preaching the law just like they're supposed to. He was like, oh, but they're going to hell. Think about that. Because they were doing it. They were very good at giving what the law said, horrible at doing it. Y'all get it? So the race was to present the word. But the qualification for me is to live the word. Amen? Any questions? All right. We'll stop there.